Good morning, Cubella. Good to see ya. You're the first one in, Miss Cubella. Woo woo!
There's Eric.
I'm here. Hi, good Eric. Morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Oh, before I forget. Hi, Dina Joe.
Oh, dear Lord. Good morning, Tom. Hi, Tom.
Tuttles is here.
Morning, Tuttles. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Old Man's Podcast Show with Dina Joe and Eric.
Welcome, Coltrane. Coltrane.
Coming to you live.
Hi, Coltrane. Nice to see
from
you.
From across the United States, all the way from Washington State down to Georgia. Georgia. Mm. I forgot what I was going to say. Georgia bouncing back up to Colorado. Welcome, everybody. We've been getting some much-needed rain here in the Pacific Northwest.
Oh.
Yeah, it's nice. Good time. Love it. Love the rain. Love the rain. So, hello, everybody. Hope everything's going good for you. It is for the old man. He's doing fine. Eric, how are you doing, buddy?
Doing good.
Dina Joe.
Yes, sir.
How are you doing? Great. You're awesome. Great.
Awesome.
Awesome. Awesome sauce.
Hi, GP Man 45. Nice.
Hey, today's Tuesday. Taco Tuesday. Is it a taco or is it a sandwich? Okay. Is it a sandwich or is it a taco? Hey, Mr. E.
It's a taco. Don't say the name. It's politically correct or something.
Well,
taco.
We're having them today. Grammy is going to get us a couple of them.
Hi, Jess.
And we're going to try it, and we're going to tell you tomorrow what we think. Is it a taco or is
that
it a
that chicken thing?
Yeah. That Taco Bell chicken.
You're going to Taco Smell. Give me a break. You're not having Mexican food.
I didn't say anything about Mexican food.
You can have them. Call it whatever you want. But
I'm going to have a taco-itch. A taco-itch.
There you go, Mr. A.
We're going to settle it one way or another. Is it a taco or is it a sandwich?
The chicken patty is what's squished up to be the shell? Is that what the deal is?
No, it doesn't. No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Do explain, please. Hi, Steptoe.
No, I don't know what it is. I don't know what the shell is. I mean, I don't know. It looks like a piece of bread.
See, I thought it was the chicken.
Well, it is. It's their entry into the chicken sandwich war. The chicken sandwich war. It's Taco Bell's entry into the chicken sandwich war. Yeah, and it's it's a chicken fillet.
Let me see what it is. Let me see.
Yeah, it looks like a chicken fillet that looks like it's deep fried, and it's just stuck in a thing that looks like bread, and then they're calling it a sandwich. I don't know. We're going to get a couple and find out, by golly. We're going to settle this once for another. So, it's Taco Tuesday. Get out there, buy one, and then we'll talk about it tomorrow.
Huh? Let's see.
We will discuss it tomorrow.
But I love the Taco Bell's new chicken sandwich taco. Okay.
Well, we need to go out and try it. Hey, Tony. Hey, Scooter.
Hi, Scooter.
Yeah, we need to try it. We're going to try it. We're going to do it. We're going to try it. We're going to see. I want to know. I want to know. You know, it looks to me like when, like Grammy buys chicken strips from the store. She buys them, brings them in, you know, and then there's like tomorrow. She'll buy them today, and then tomorrow there's a couple left over. So she takes them, or I'll take them. You throw it in the microwave, heat it up, and throw it in between a slice of bread. You know, you fold up a slice of bread and throw it in there, and then you eat it. And I go, that looks like the Taco Bell thing. That's all it is. They got all these leftover.
Here's how Taco Bell makes a taco shell out of fried chicken.
Yeah, but I don't think that's what this is. That's something else they have.
Cholula unshelled.
Come on, Ramirez. Come on, Ramirez.
What?
Say those Mexican names. Those fake Mexican names.
Chalupa. Chalupa? Is that what you want me to say?
No, it was something else. You were trying to say something else. Chalupa, I don't know.
Chalupa unshelled is what, but that, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, they did come out with a thing that, yeah, they did come out with a thing that, huh? Have I seen a picture
of it? No, you take a picture before you put it in your mouth.
Oh, I will. I will document it because, you know, like we say in the quality control world,
yeah,
if it's not documented, it never happened.
Exactly. Like, you wouldn't have believed I ate the spam if I didn't have a video of it. You would have never believed it.
That is so true.
Hi, Frisco Bob.
Though I know that you are not a liar, and I don't think that you would lie to me, but I'd still be questioning it. Did she really eat?
Right. Man? No, you got to do it again, especially if I didn't like it. You would make me do it again. But I said, you need to videotape this because videotape he's not going to believe me.
Yeah. And I believed you ate it. I just couldn't believe that big old bite you took. Good grief.
I couldn't cut it. It was smaller.
It's like you're a great white. You're like a great white shark out there.
Oh, my word. I am. Well, don't mess with me with food, okay?
I got to tell you, I am the same way. And so is Grammy. If we're going to take a taste of something, here, taste this. It's not none of this little, you know, you just dip your little fork or your spoon in it, and then you just... You know, you just kind of lick the end of it.
Yeah, I think that tastes good. Smell good.
Ah,
then I'm
nah,
really
man.
A little
you take
dish.
A bite of it. Take a bite of it. and if it's no good, you just, you know, you just.
You see you it know, in you, your face. You see just, it in your eyes.
Yeah, you see it in their eyes and their face. Exactly. Yeah, it's like these people I've been watching the videos that have been eating these like ghost peppers and the Trinity scorpion peppers. You know, none of these little tiny, just these little tiny nibbles.
They're
biting. They're putting
Hi,
the whole
man.
Dang
Welcome.
Thing in their mouth, you know.
Oh, man.
And I'm going, there you go. And you watch their
Thank
face.
You, Mr. A.
Yeah. Yeah, a real bite, Scooter. Exactly.
Hi, J-Baby.
Hi, J-Baby. And then you watch their face to see what their reaction is. Because you know what? The face and the eyes don't lie.
Yeah, no. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you can force a smile on your face, on your mouth. You can force a smile, but them eyes are going to tell you.
Mm-hmm. That nasty taste in your mouth will come out somewhere on your face. Hi, yeah. Echo. Yeah. Nice to see you again.
And the little warning. You see that little warning. It's like, get out of the way. She's going to blow, you know.
She's gonna blow.
Let's see. What was the grossest thing I ever shoved inside my fat mouth?
Mine was like rattlesnake dip. It was terrible. Hi, PBG.
What was that? Rattlesnake dip?
Dip. Yeah, it was a rattlesnake dip. That was as far as I would go to try it, and it was horrible.
Was that worse than the seaweed? Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, huh? The worst for me was we were in England and Roselle, Grammy's daughter, was with us, and she wanted to try a ginger beer over there. So she goes, if I get one, will you get one too? Will you drink one too, Jim? I go, sure. So she, you know, we got a couple of ginger beers. It was the worst taste. I almost spit it all out of my mouth. It was terrible.
Why?
Absolutely
is it just
terrible.
Like, why? Is it really gingery, or is it the combination of ginger and beer?
I have, you know, I can't nail it. I can't.
It was just nasty, huh?
Nail exactly what was nasty about it. It just did not taste good.
I was wondering about
those
ginger beers.
It just did not taste good at all. It may have been too overly gingerly, too much ginger, because Grammy bought some ginger ale. And it said extra ginger. I thought, well, all right, you know, no biggie, because I like a ginger ale every now and then. It settles your stomach. You know, it's good, right? Ginger ale, Canada Dry or something. And so I drink regular ginger ale. All right. So I got this thing that said extra ginger, and I took a sip of it, and it was like, no, I ain't drinking this. No. So maybe it was too much ginger for me.
Could be.
But I.
It's good for you.
Puts hair on your chest. Steptoe.
Yeah, it can. It can do that. It's strong stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. It's nasty.
No, you like ginger in the ginger turmeric shots that you make that I showed you guys how to make. You like it in that?
Yes. Yes. And I, and like I said, I like regular ginger ale. And so
I wonder if it's a combination with the alcohol, because the ginger ales don't have alcohol in them. They're just bubbly.
Yeah, they're just a soft drink, you know.
Right.
Just a carbonated soft drink. I don't know. I don't know, but it was enough for me to never try it again. Oh, and then there was another, because here in the Pacific Northwest, we are known as the microbrew capital of the world.
Beer, you know,
we
have
everybody and their brothers brewing their own beer up here. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there was one, and it was called, I think it was called Dragon's Milk. I think it's what it was called.
I wouldn't even want to. It's the name. I wouldn't want to try it. It sounds nasty. He wants to try himself some dragon milk.
I got to tell you, I felt the same way when I saw it, but I was experimenting with all these microbrews because I was looking for a good stout beer, you know. Yeah. And so I got it, and I bought two bottles of it, and I opened it up, and I dumped them. I literally dumped them down the sink. I just go, I am not drinking this. This tastes nasty. Don't drink dragon milk. I think if that was the name of it, it could have been something else. You know, it could have been elephant blood. I don't know. They put the weirdest names on these things up here, you know. Oh, man, you should see. I should go to the store with Grammy and go down the beer aisle and film it for you, Dina Joe. And so you can see all these different, you know, homegrown micro brews that places like Safeway carries. Yeah. They carry them all, you know. And you go in there and you see them, and it's a whole aisle full of these things, you know, just everywhere. I remember one time I was looking for I was looking for a six pack of Guinness. I just wanted some Guinness. And I couldn't find any Guinness, but these things were everywhere, you know. And I got the guy in the aisle. I go, hey, do you guys got any just regular Guinness here? Anywhere? Guinness? He goes, no, we don't carry it. I go, you don't carry the world's most popular beer, but you got all these micro brews everywhere, you know.
It's funny. That's why.
Yeah. It's interesting. It's interesting, though. Yeah, I'll have to do that because it's actually it's quite colorful with all the different labels and everything too. Yeah, I'll do that. I'll film it and send it to you and Lewis so you guys can check out all the microbrews. I've got a grandniece who's married, her boyfriend. Her name is Magdalena. What a beautiful name! And her boyfriend Heath. He's a brewmaster. Heath, near down in California someplace. And him and I were talking microbrews and all that when we were at Big Penny's 70th birthday here a couple of years back. Interesting kid. Real nice guy. Knew his beer. Yeah. And I remember my brother comes, hey, I brought some beer to the gathering. Hey, what'd you bring? Coors.
That's what he brought. The beer master brought Coors?
No. My brother.
Oh, sorry.
And I remember looking at the brewmaster's face, and it was like, oh, you know.
Right.
Could you bring anything worse? You can't bring anything worse than that to a party. It's funny. I think the next day he brought something. Here, I brought some beer. Oh, okay. You know, and it was like, I don't remember the name of it, but it wasn't bad. It was pretty exotic, you know. Yeah. All right. Brewmaster. Mm. Brewmaster Heath. Yeah. What a name. Yeah. Okay. So anyway, today is what? Today is Tuesday, the 28th. We only got, after today, we got two more days in September.
Hi, Radio Project.
Then September's out of here. Get out of here, September. And then starts all the fun, October. Mm-hmm. What did this one guy say? I read this thing. He says, Eric's birthday's coming up, Eric, the birthday boy.
Eric, oh gosh. And it's like the first, almost right at first week. Well, second week, technically, but wow.
Well, if you count, it's Friday and Saturday, you know. Let's see. What was this thing I saw? It says Walmart seems to think that I want to dress up in a Halloween costume while I'm eating a turkey and decorating my house for Christmas. In other words, they got everything out.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got everything out.
I've seen people, they're already decorated, their houses are already decorated for Halloween.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Big dragons out in the front yard.
Yeah, the funnest Halloween I ever had was I was in high school, and I was a senior in high school. I had just got done having one of my first knee surgeries, so I was walking around with a limp pretty bad. And we're at this friend of mine's house, Gillum Scoggin. And he dressed me up. I have this old army jacket. He stuffed a big old wad of towels or something in my back to give me a hunchback. You know, he gave me a hunchback, and I'm limping already. You know, and I don't know how I decorated my face up, but they made me into like the hunchback of Notre Dame. And it was fun because I'd hide out there in his yard, and everybody would come to the house, you know, hey. And then I'd come out, raw, and it was fun scaring people. It was really fun scaring people. That's what Halloween's all about, man. You need to have an interaction with the people coming to your house to get candy.
Scare them, make them pee their pants.
Scare them and make them run. You betcha. I wouldn't do it to the little kids. No. You know, I would just stay out of the way with the little kids. I was waiting for, you know, the sixth graders, the junior high guys, the freshmen in high school, those guys. Yeah. I will say the cutest Halloween event that I ever had was I had lost my job in Arizona. I lived in Prescott Valley at the time. I lost my job. I was struggling to find work. You know, things weren't looking good. And Halloween comes. And I'm there handing out candy, and this guy, you know, he stops at the end of the driveway with his little girl, and he goes, go on, and she walks up to the door, and she's just as cute as a bug, just a little sweetheart, you know, and she couldn't have been, what, maybe 3-4 years old, something like that. She comes up, she's dressed like a little fairy. She's got the wings, you know, and her frilly little dress and her little magic wand. I mean, she just was as cute as a bug. And she comes up. I go, oh, so you're a fairy. And I started talking to her like that. Oh, you look so cute. Look at you. And I go, look how cute this little girl looks. And she's all, you know, shy. And I go, you want some candy? And she goes, yes. I go, okay. And I go, okay, here you are. And I go, hey, will you do me a favor before you leave? And she goes, and she just kind of shakes her head. I go, would you grant me a wish? Would you grant me a wish? Would you hit me? You know, would you tap me with your magic wand and grant me a wish? She goes, okay. So I had to bend down because she's just a little kid, you know. So I bend way down to her level, and I'm there. And she takes her little wand and she puts it up to my forehead, and then she sweeps back. Then she puts it up to my forehead, you know, like she's taking aim. She's taking aim.
Oh, I hope she smacked you.
And then she rears back and blasts me right in the head with that wand. I mean, it was like
she wanted to make sure that wish came true.
I tell you what, and her dad just was laughing, you know, and I started laughing. It was hilarious. It was hilarious. I go, well, thank you. I'm as I'm seeing stars, you know.
Got a nice big red spot on your forehead.
I got offered the job that brought me to the Pacific Northwest 2 days after that.
There you go.
Isn't that amazing? That is totally amazing to me. And it's like, yeah, right, you know, sure. But, you know, hey, you know, she was a little fairy. She granted me a wish, and I was looking for work. I needed a job.
There you go.
But she was so cute. Oh, my gosh. That would have been something I wish I could have had, you know, a telephone like we have now. Hi, Flying Ham. And where I could have had that on tape. That would have been that'd have been something right there. So cute. Yeah. But Halloween's cute. Halloween with little kids is cute. And I like seeing the creativity of people making costumes and that. It's a lot of fun. But you know, where we live here in Vancouver, on our street, 94th Avenue, we don't get any trick-or-treaters at all. None. Well, never have. 21 years and have never had any trick-or-treaters come to the house.
Really?
That's true. One year I tried to entice him by putting up, you know, we carved up a couple of jack-o'-lanterns and put them out on the porch to try to draw them in. But no, they didn't come. I don't know why. They just don't. But that's another fun thing with Halloween in the, you know, in the side waiting to come on. Halloween's getting right, you know, ready to come here. Is if you've never taken and made it a little party carving jack-o'-lanterns. Oh my gosh, that is so much fun.
Mm-hmm. You know,
you get your friends together, get the kids together, you know, and have just a little jack-o'-lantern carving party. I mean, it is fun, and it's fun. It is so much fun. Yeah, it is so much fun, and that is fun. We did it 1 year, and we actually bought more than we needed as far as pumpkins. We really kind of went overboard, but the reason I did is because I wanted to make my front yard look like a pumpkin patch. You know, we just spread them out there in the yard. And then all the kids came and family members, and they had to go out and, you know, they got to go out and pick their pumpkin out of the pumpkin patch, you know. It was a lot of fun.
I bet.
We like to go to Seaside, Oregon this time of year, and I think we're going again in November, early November this year. We're going to Seaside. And we at the resort that we stay at, you know, it's got a nice little courtyard and everything. And we went there for Halloween, during Halloween. And Grammy goes, so what do you want to do? I go, man, I want to carve a jack-o'-lantern. Really? Yeah. So we went in and ran to the Safeway, picked out the perfect jack-o'-lantern pumpkin. And, you know, I carved it all up and I set it at the window, you know. I go, I don't know how good this is going to look from, you know, from the outside. So I put a candle in it, you know, set it at the window. And then we walked because we were like four floors up. So we went down to the lobby level, walked out into the courtyard and looked up. And oh, my God, it was there. I mean, it was there and it stuck out like a sore thumb. The light shining through its eyes and its teeth and all that in the dark courtyard. And nobody else had anything in their windows, you know. And it was like, oh, my God, look at, there's the jack-o'-lantern. It was awesome. It was really awesome.
That's fun.
Oh, they are fun. Jack-o'-lanterns are just so much fun.
And the shows they have on the Food Network are amazing. Those pumpkin Barbie ones. Oh, my gosh.
Isn't that awesome?
The stuff that they can do is just crazy.
I was drinking. Yeah, I mean, yeah. The carvers. Oh my gosh. I don't know. I don't know how they do it, man. It's like the sculptures. They don't call them carvers. The sculptures. Some of that stuff is just unbelievable. You know, me, I'm just your conventional, you know, two eyes, nose, and a mouth. You know, the triangle eyes, triangle nose, and the mouth with the, you know, a couple of teeth in the top and a couple of teeth in the bottom. You know, I'm your typical basic jack-o'-lantern carver. But these guys, if you've got, I think it's the Food Network, isn't it, Dino? I think it's the Food Network. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you've got the Food Network on your TV package that you watch, look for those Halloween carving competition things and watch these guys carve these pumpkins. Oh, jeez, Louise. It's incredible. This stuff that they can do. Yeah. Troncat, I had too much fun carving. Yeah, it is fun.
You can get creative.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, and I never go for the real fancy, you know, artsy carvings, you know, like the black cat with the hunched back, you know, hissing and that. I just go for your basic crazy looking jack-o'-lantern, you know. It's a lot of fun. You do want to be careful, though. You're handling those sharp knives.
Yes,
children. I found the best way to do it, though, is you I usually cut my jack-o'-lanterns open from the bottom. I don't cut the top off so it's got a lid. I cut the bottom so it's got a dish.
Yes, I just learned that a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. It's easier to do it that way, and then you just stick it on top of your...
Yeah, Exactly. Yeah. It makes it easier to light and that kind of stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. But and then I get in there and you clean out all your seeds and all your pumpkin innards and all that stuff. Oh, speaking of that, I saw this one guy carved a pumpkin. And he made it look like it was sick and throwing up all its innards. You know, it took all the seeds and the innards. It was hilarious. So anyway, you get all that stuff out. That. And if you know how to, you know, if you know how to roast stuff, I mean, you got roasted pumpkin seeds right there. Grammy did that one year. She roasted up the pumpkin seeds, you know, and they were good. I mean, yeah, they're good. So anyway, you get all that stuff out. And then when you figure out where you want to put your face on the pumpkin, then you get in there with a big old spoon and you scrape the meat of the pumpkin out. You scrape it all out, kind of thin up that wall where you're going to put his face, and it makes it a whole lot easier to carve. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Just don't let the kids handle the knives. What we did is we let them use magic markers and they drew on it.
Yeah,
you know.
Painting them is a good idea too.
Yeah, painting them's fun. Yeah, and get the little painted faces on there. But the ones that wanted the, you know, the things carved out, we'd had them do it with a black magic marker. Okay, do your eyes, do your mouth. Okay, is that how you want it? Yeah, and then I'd carve it for them, you know, the way they wanted it. Good times. Good times. That's what I love about Halloween. Halloween is so much fun. So get ready, folks. It's coming, Halloween. Hello? Yeah, this is Halloween. Are you ready? Not yet. Come back in 30-some days. Good times, good times. Anyway, wow. Man, that was a lot of fun. The knives from the carving kit are fairly – yes, they are kid-friendly. Yeah, they are. Yeah. But, you know, I mean, I got to use my big old hunting knife. You know, that'll take a finger off. Hey, how'd you get that thing to look like real blood? It is real blood. that's my finger inside the pumpkin right there.
Tried pumpkin seeds and they made me feel a bit ill. Laugh out loud.
I think it's acquired taste, maybe. You can put all kinds of
seasoning, as we always say. It's up to the spices. Mm-hmm. I know you can really put a lot of different spices on them, but
You can buy them like you do sunflower seeds and that kind of stuff. Uh-huh. And you can buy them processed and that kind of stuff. So. Yeah. So what else is kind of going on today? Do you have a listing, Joe, of anything that's going on today?
Yeah, sure do. Guess what the first one is? National Drink Beer Day. Beer.
Is that why you were singing that when we were talking beer?
No, I didn't even know, but it is beer.
That's amazing. National Beer Drinking Day. Well, I guess I'm going to have a beer with... I'm going to have a beer when with the taco sandwich thing I'm going to have.
Oh, that would go perfectly. Maybe you should get yourself a Modelo to try if you can find it by itself.
Yeah, the Negro, the dark, because that was the one that was up on the list. Yeah.
Yes.
I might do that. I just might do that. Make it an entire Mexican dinner. Yeah, right.
Olé.
Olé. Okay, so
it's also National Stare at Your Fish Tank Day.
Stare at Your Fish Tank Day?
Well, it's Fish Tank Floor Show Night. It says, look at your fish, let them be your entertainment for the night. So, yeah.
We have a dentist.
I don't know. I'm just reading them.
We have a dentist that has a big fish tank in his lobby, you know. And so we went there about a month ago. And we go in there and we sit down and Grammy's staring at the fish tank, you know, and I'm going, well, what are you doing? She goes, I'm looking at the fish tank. I go, okay, what's going on? She goes, there ain't no fish in it. I'm like, what? And so I started staring at it too. And she goes, there ain't no fish in that fish tank.
So she asked
the lady and the lady goes, oh yeah, they died. we're gonna clean it and get some more. It was hilarious.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. Stare at your fish tank day.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Hey, there was that show on TV. Remember? Wasn't there a show on TV that guys would come in and build you these big, elaborate fish aquariums?
Tanked, I think it's called. Tanked.
Yeah.
They make them all out of all kinds of crazy stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Next, please.
International Right to Know Day. It's your international right to have knowledge and power to know.
Thank you. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Just so you know, you get to know that on September 28th. It's your right to know.
No other day, just today.
No. Yes, because it's also Ask a Stupid Question Day.
Sweet.
On up. Like, if animals could talk, which species would be the rudest of them all?
Oh, now that's a great question.
Is it not
that
stupid?
That is a great question. Scooter says cats. I think you're right. I think the normal house cat would be that way. I think a house cat would be rude to a lion as the lion's getting ready to snap its neck. Yeah, go ahead, tough guy. What do you think? Yeah, cats start. They strike me as they would be the rudest ones.
Yeah, kind of stuck up.
Yeah, they are. They act stuck up. You know, dogs. When you go to pet a dog, dogs like, oh yeah, thank you. Oh yeah, yeah, thanks, baby. Yeah. Oh yeah, don't stop. Oh, yeah. No. More.
We're there.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how dogs are. Yeah. But a cat, you pet it like a couple of times, and it goes, "That's enough. Stop."
No, it swats at you. Away from me with those sharp little claws.
I don't know what's up with cats. I think cats are crazy. Okay. Well, anyway.
Well, it's also National Good Neighbor Day. Be a good neighbor. Well, it's National Good Neighbor Day, and the next one is National Neighbor Day.
Huh.
So be a good neighbor, and as Mr. Rogers would say, please won't you be my neighbor?
I
don't understand, but okay. Well, let's see. Bill, next door. I tell you, he pulls up, and if he sees me, you could see like his face, like, oh, damn. And it's not like I ever go and really chat to him with him or anything. I just say, hey, Bill. And that's all it takes. And it's like, hi. Like, I just ended his world. He just is like the most unsociable person in the world. So I always say hi to him. Hi, Bill.
Yeah. Chasey. Hi, Bill. Bill, how you doing? Bill. Just keep yelling until he finally turns around and waves. You know, Dina Jo, if you had cats instead of dogs, you'd be the perfect cat lady.
What the hell does that mean?
I don't know. I'm just thinking. You like you were doing that with Bill, you know, and you go, watch out, there's the cat lady. Get back, everybody in the house. God. Everybody get in the house. Get in the house. The cat lady's out. So if this is good, be a good neighbor. If this is be a good neighbor day, then I got to think of something to maybe do or pull on Bob. Maybe is there any dead possums laying around? I gotta go look. Yeah.
No, but I did have a squirrel tail and two hind legs that I could have given you.
Oh, I'd have chucked those over the fence into his garden.
I'm sure you would have.
Into a raised garden. Yeah.
Probably like, oh, the rest of the body's over at Bill's. Bob's.
Bob's.
Throw it over there. Oh, you got a Bob and I got a Bill.
Isn't that funny? Uh-huh. Interesting.
Bill the squirrel said, yep, he was missing some of his parts for sure.
Steptoe says his neighbors are like from the Tom Hanks film, The Burbs. That's not a bad movie, The Burbs. It's really kind of funny about neighbors and living in the suburbs and that. The Burbs. Highland Survivor. Yeah.
Highland Survivor, welcome.
Yeah. All right,
well, it's also next? National Voter Registration Day. Why? Let's not even start there.
That was probably when it was started on an election year, and then they just never stopped it. They go, yeah, or whatever.
Right. I know.
Okay. What?
And there's a Jewish holiday, and I'm sorry, but I cannot pronounce it. Shemini at Ziggurat. I don't know.
Nice try.
I'm sorry, but there's a national holiday.
Well, nice try.
And then it's National World Rabies Awareness Day for your little animals.
Rabies Awareness Day. Yeah.
Yes. So those are your days.
All right. Well, there you go.
Beer.
That's the only one worth mentioning to me. Welcome, everybody, to the Old Man's Podcast Show with Dina, Joe, and Eric. We're here every morning, Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. for your entertainment. Trying to get you laughing, having a good time, you know. It's just fun. You got to try to have fun in the mornings. Have fun in the mornings to get your day on a good note. You know, it gets it started right, you know.
Then
you get out there and have a good day. Yeah. So thanks for joining us. Appreciate it. If you're new to the show, hit that follow button. Hit that follow button. Good times. Good times. Well, that's interesting. So I saw this thing. It said the best place to buy French fries per state. Per state. So I thought I'd look at this and see. All right. And you can tell me. So let's just bust on over to Colorado right now and see what's going on. Where's the best place that this thing says? Oh, in Arizona, for our listeners there in Arizona, the place called Deluxe Burger. Deluxe Burger is the best place to buy French fries. Did I say French fries?
What did I say? You said burgers.
No, I meant fries. Buy fries. God, what is wrong?
A do-over. Okay, start over.
Edit.
What? Best place to buy French fries in your state.
People say, people ask me, they go, so do you edit your show? I go, if I edited my show, there would be nothing but dead air. Edit out your mistakes. I go, there'd just be nothing there. Just Dina, Joe, and Eric talking. Let's see. California AT&T Park in San Francisco. They say that's the best place to buy French fries in California. Yeah. Colorado. If I pronounce this correct, Steubens, Steubens.
Steubens, yeah. I've heard of that. It was on Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives.
Really? Well, they say here, best place to get French fries in Colorado. These look good. They got some kind of sauce on them. It looks like a gravy.
Yeah, I wish I could remember what else they were showing on. They have lobster rolls there. They have, oh my gosh, it looks absolutely delicious. I don't know if anybody, Jess or anybody, Jay Baby, has been there.
I don't know.
But it really looks good. Ooh, they have a food truck too. Woo.
If you're in Delaware, a place called Thrasher's French Fries. So it's a place that just sells French fries. Apparently, that's their number one selling thing. Huh. Thrasher's French Fries.
Hey, I'd go to that restaurant.
I would too. You betcha. Mm-hmm. Florida Shake Shack. That's a fun name. Shake Shack.
Yeah. Now I thought we had some. I've never been. So.
Now, this next one, this is in Georgia. Eric, tell us if they're right. But now, the picture they're showing, they got good-looking fries. But I tell you what, that burger they got sitting next to it looks really good. It's a place in Georgia called Yeah Burger. Yeah.
Why? I don't think I've heard of that place. Unless it's around like Macon or Savannah or Augusta or Albany.
It doesn't give a location. But it says this place has some of the best burgers and fries you will get. All fresh, delicious products. Fries are a large serving, so can be shared.
Your favorite fries that you get in Georgia?
I'm just used to like going to restaurants that are like convenient to me. Like Chick-fil-A for their waffle fries or Arby's for their curly fries. But I know, like, you know, I'm familiar, of course, with the Varsity and, you know, near Midtown Atlanta. I don't get to go there very often.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think, like, a burger joint we have yet to get here in Georgia would be, like, a Jack in the Box or an In-N-Out. Excuse me.
Yeah. Yeah. Hmm. What about you, Dina Joe, in Colorado? Where do you, when you want fries, where do you go?
My kitchen.
That does not surprise me at all. Does not surprise
me. I don't know, because honestly, like the last year, I really didn't go anywhere. And the only places that were really close by that were open is like what Eric would say, but then I don't go to. That is the last place I went to. I was going to say Five Guys. I was going to say that was the last place I went and got fries were Five Guys.
Five Guys. I don't know.
They're
good.
I like them because they're fresh. They make them right there, and you get a big, huge bag full of them. But, I wouldn't say I've had better, but I like them. They're good.
You know, everybody, talks well of Five Guys, but I never really cared for them. I don't know why.
Yeah.
I just never cared for them. Here's a place in Idaho that would definitely make you go if you're looking for a place for fries. It's called Boise Fry Company.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah. It says fries are delicious. The purple potato fries with gravy and rosemary salt are my personal faves. Yeah, that sounds good. Yeah.
Rosemary. See, I love me some garlic fries.
Yes.
Yummy. Yes.
Speaking of garlic fries, Grammy, I'm going to jump
Raji.
Off.
Welcome.
I'm going to jump off the subject of fries here for a minute, but Grammy cooked up some leeks yesterday. We've never had leeks before.
Okay.
And she bought some leeks and she chopped them up. And I've never tasted anything that tasted like onion and garlic at the same time. That's what this leek did. It tasted like onion and garlic at the same time. It's like an onion and a garlic bread, and you came up with a leek.
Welcome, PPG. I've never really cooked with them before, but they look like a big green onion.
They do. They look like a giant green onion. Mm-hmm. But they've got this.
Interesting. I love me garlic.
Garlic type taste to them with the onion, and it's great. Yeah, Grammy made some kind of. She made some homemade chicken soup yesterday. And
that's what Flying Ham said. Making soups absolutely great.
What does he say? I can't.
Leeks are great for potato soups and making stocks. So she put it.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I told her. I says, man, this would be great in a potato salad. Yeah. Good stuff.
Now, did you grow it?
No. She bought them at a store. She bought them at a store. Right. We didn't grow them. No. Let's see here. I'm looking. Oh, no. Come on. Nevada is Gordon Ramsay Burger in Las Vegas. Get out of here, Gordon Ramsay.
Well, maybe he knows how to make a good fry.
Yeah, those look like big old potato wedges. They don't even look like fries.
Ooh, I like me some potato wedges.
I know. I prefer. I like potato wedges, too. I do, too.
Spanky, Del Taco is awesome because you can grab yourself a burrito and you get some little hot sauce in a little squirty package and you get your crinkly fries and and you get to, instead of ketchup, you dip it in the hot sauce. Oh my gosh.
Really? So they get fries at Del Taco?
Yes, that's what's so great about it. You get the combination of both. Yeah. See, even Eric knows. Welcome, PBG.
I think
it's good, huh, Eric? Good
Taco Bell just recently came out with like fries too that you can dip in their like cheese sauce.
Oh, that's right. They have those devil fries or what are they called? I can't remember. Fire fries or I don't know what they're called.
Seasonal though. I thought that they only came out once a year. The fries at Taco Bell. The nacho. No. Yeah. What do they call their fries?
I thought they're like fire fries or
fire fries
or nacho fries, I think
nacho fries or something. Because they had a big marketing thing for those. Spanky says, "Oh man, you got to get out more."
I know. How does he not know that they have crinkly fries that you can?
I don't even know where
Del Taco.
A Del Taco is. I know we have one. We got one someplace here in Vancouver. I'll have to hunt him down and see.
Oh, yeah, Tuttles. That's how it is out here, too. Taco Bell and KFC combination. Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Like, you can get both at the one place. It's
Taco Bell and KFC. Mm-hmm. Kind of makes you wonder what kind of money exchanges hands there. You know, did Taco Bell and KFC join there for a little bit? I don't know.
Yeah. It's interesting. I don't. Yeah.
I know, like Taco Bell, KFC, and Pizza Hut, and Long John Silver's have the common ownership of Yum Corporation.
Huh.
Oh.
Yeah, Flying Ham says they're owned by the same parent company, like Eric just said. Hmm, interesting. Uh-huh. Yeah. And then Flying Ham also told Spanky that they don't let me out much. No, I'm not allowed. I'm not allowed to go out and wander
it's
around.
It's dangerous when he goes out.
Grammy puts one of those shock collars on me so I don't get out and run around too far away. Get back in the yard. Get back in the yard.
Those little baby things if she has to take you to the store. Those old things you'd put on your kid, the dog collar.
Yeah. No, she just locks me in the truck. She just cracks the window a little bit, locks me in the truck. Don't feed the old man. Well, here in Washington, they say the best place to buy fries is like San Francisco. It's the ballpark, Safeco Field. Except it's not called Safeco Field anymore. It's T-Mobile Field. But, yeah. All right, so there you go.
Hi, KSCH Wing. Welcome.
Speaking of rosemary.
I love rosemary.
Rosemary is one of those 11 best antiviral herbs that are out there.
Oh, I bet.
Rosemary, it says, helps treat herpes viruses, HIV, influenza, and hepatitis. Rosemary. And did you know rosemary is also a bug deterrent? You know, if you put rosemary down, it keeps the bugs away. We went and stayed in a yurt once, camping, and Grammy spread inside the yurt the perimeter with rosemary, and keeps the bugs out. Yeah, it's amazing. What were you gonna say, Eric?
Lemongrass, mint. You know, like what smells good to us doesn't smell good to like wasps, hornets, ants, and other bugs, because they don't breathe through their nose and mouth like we do. They breathe through their exoskeleton.
That's interesting too, huh? That they don't. Because you can take basil leaves and put them in your cabinets to keep ants and all that from in your basil leaves. Hey, Asha. That's good. Yeah. The one thing that got me on these 11 herbs. Hey, Ash, try it again, Ash. I don't know if I caught that on time trying to call in. There you go. Is the two of them that really amazed me. And one was dandelions and one was licorice.
Yeah.
But before we get into that, let's say hello to our friend Man Cave. Hey, Man Cave, how you doing, buddy? It's good to see you.
I'm good. I just need to ask you a question.
Okay.
Is it called a basil leaf or a basil leaf?
Basil.
Just wondering, you know. I'm sure it's called a basil leaf when I last heard from
you. Nice to see you.
You know what's funny, you saying that, is because now that I look at the word, I mean, it's like, who is that old actor that used to play Sherlock Holmes? Basil something. But yeah, it's spelt like basil, but they say basil. So, yeah, I should have known. Wrathbone, basil, basil.
Bloody Americans.
All right. Let's say basil. Oh, man. Bloody Americans.
Sorry. Like, I was just listening and I thought it was griping me the way how you were saying it. It was griping me, man. Come on. I thought, I know you butchered the English language as well, but that's just too far.
Well, you send me these videos every now and then of people, you know, English and America style or British, you know, and I go, okay, all right. He's trying to teach me how to speak proper English. But man, I didn't hardly get anything out when you just jumped on me on that basil. Nah, it's basil, man. It's basil. Isn't that funny?
How, welcome.
Isn't that funny how we basically have the same language, but we don't say it? You don't say it the same. The same at all.
Yeah. No. I know.
It's weird. It's weird.
Hi, Julian.
So, what else are you up to? What else are you up to? Anything besides correcting my English?
Magnet fishing in a bit.
Magnet fishing. Hey, you know, we got Tuttles in our chat room.
That's why
he started doing magnet fishing. Yeah,
I know. I know. Me and Tuttles have had our conversations about it already.
Oh, awesome!
Where have you been, old man?
Yeah, where have I been? Well, I'm not allowed outside. Remember?
I know.
So you guys compare notes. You guys compare notes on how to
what they pick,
magnet fish,
what they collect.
No, not yet. No, don't compare notes. It's just one of those ones. Like, oh yeah, is that how you do it? I see your way. And it's just learning. Yeah. It's just started doing it, you see. So
I tell you, Tuttles, it's going to be hard to beat Man Cave finding that wheelbarrow.
That's true. Thunderbird 2 came in for the wheelbarrow, you know.
I know. Man Cave for the win. Wheelbarrow. There we go. Now we're going to have a competition magnet fishing talk. Hello, Tuttles.
Sorry, your podcast now has just turned into magnet fishing talk.
It's magnet fishing. And that's all right. That's all right. How you doing, Tuttles?
I'm doing good. Am I coming through okay?
You're coming through fine.
I actually bought an RC trolling boat, and I'm going to attach my magnet to the back of the RC trolling boat so I can tow my magnet way far out in the water and just drop it off the back of the boat and let it drop straight down so I get a farther pull.
That's a very good idea.
Yeah.
That's as good as an underwater.
Tuttles for the win right there, Man Cave. Tuttles for the win.
Yeah, it's a scale 26. Well, it's 26 inches, but it's a scale. It was like one of those big cruiser type boats, so like a scarab type back on it and stuff. So It's a pretty powerful little RC boat, so I'll be able to get right out with it pretty good.
Just the only thing I would say to you is, though, Tuddles, don't make sure you've got some strong rope, because if you tying it down and you're in the middle of nowhere, well, right in the middle of the lake or river, wherever you are, and if it gets caught on a rock and snags, you ain't going to find that magnet again, mate.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, my two smaller magnets, I put 150-foot rope on them now, and it's 3/8 like carabiner-type rope. So it's pretty strong stuff.
I got some good stuff on there.
And then my big 1,100-pound magnet, I actually took three 550 paracords and braided them all together.
Man, what kind of knots are you using on those magnets, man, to keep them so they don't come off, man?
Well, technically, my 1,100-pound magnet now has 6 strands of 550 paracord holding it through the loop.
Oh, my gosh.
I bet you I could pull a car with it now.
Well, Flying Ham's got a question, like I'm thinking, is how are you going to pick up an 1,100-pound magnet?
Well, is that just it's 1,100 pound. It's the rating on it. But when you're pulling stuff out like bikes and stuff, you know, that's the big thing, like a bike or a car door or like Man Cave got like a wheelbarrow, right? You're not actually yanking something that's 1,100 pounds.
It can hold up to the weight of it on both sides, because like it's half of what, half each side. So all around it's 1,100.
If you got a magnet,
my 1,100 is a unidirectional.
Oh, you got that one of you. So you got the round-headed one then.
Yeah, I got a 600 double side. I got a 1,100 double side, and then an 1,100 single side.
Oh, mate, you've got all the gear, but have you got the idea though?
Excuse me. I'd like to ask the question in my own podcast, please.
Oh, brother.
Hey, so if you've got a magnet that strong, it's got the way I'm thinking of it is that the magnetic power is it would hold something that weighed 1,100 pounds, correct?
In theory, yes, but it would have to be like solid iron core stuff. Uh-huh. Most stuff you're pulling is like a tin composite, so yeah.
So I'm wondering, how do you? It's not an electromagnet, so you can't shut it off. So how do you pull something off that magnet if it's really got a bite on it?
You slide it sideways.
Oh, okay, all right.
All right. Need some
good old because you could slide it off and break the magnetic field that way. Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm just trying to learn. I'm just trying to learn here. Now, you know, you guys are on it. You guys are on top of this stuff. That's pretty good stuff right there. All right. Well, listen.
Oh, and then all of a sudden it goes quiet.
Yeah. Thanks for the magic talk there.
There's been a few shows that me and Man Cave have been on, and all of a sudden it got onto magnet fishing, and the whole show just went for the wayside.
Oh, no, I find it fascinating. I find it fascinating, but there's a part of the show that I just do not want to forget and not get to it because I love it so much.
And you guys are more than welcome to stay on the line while we do this, okay? So here we go.
1, 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, rock. 5, 6, 7 o'clock,
you know what time it is? Rock. It's time for Dina Joe's Today in Music History. So get out there, order yourself up a couple of cheeseburgers with fries and a couple of root beer floats to wash it down with. Here she is, ladies and gentlemen, the hostess with the mostest, Dina Joe.
All right, Dina Joe, what have you got for us today?
This day in music history, September 28th. 1957. We're going to start with Jimmy F. Rogers, an American singer and actor. Jimmy F. Rogers goes hits number one with the song Honeycomb. His version of Honeycomb would stay at the top of the charts for four weeks. It would be his biggest hit. So there wasn't much information on him, but here is Jimmy F. Rogers with Honeycomb.
Honeycomb. Honeycomb. Well, it's a darn good life, and it's kind of funny how the Lord made the bee, and the bee made the honey.
I remember hearing this as a little kid.
And they call it a honeycomb, and they roam the world, and they gathered all of the honeycomb.
Oh, yes, that's for you, you flying hail.
Jimmy Rogers. Made my baby's honeycomb. Lips,
oh, honeycomb.
Oh, yeah, I remember that as a little kid when I
remember that song.
Found it. Yeah, I go, I remember hearing this. Yeah.
All right, we're going to move on to the year 1963 on this date in history.
Hi, Elgato.
Coop single by the Beach Boys peaks at number 15. This was a street drag race. Tales were the popular in the 1960s in Southern California. The lyrics make more sense if you're into cars. The mechanical parts mentioned are actually automotive parts, or technically included the flathead mill engine, and lake pipes were long chromed exhaust pipes that run along the rocker panel. One artistic stretch is the vision of an old Ford Model A reaching 140 miles per hour. The shape has too much air to drag to reach that speed unless you tow it behind a DC-10 jet. Here is the Beach Boys with Little Deuce Coupe. Hi, Elgato. Little Deuce Coupe, you don't know what I got.
Little Deuce Coupe,
the Beach Boys.
Speaking of Beach Boys, we're going to have a two-hour show Friday of nothing but Beach Boy music. So it ought to be a lot of fun.
Ought to be a lot of fun. Tune in and
check it out. That's Friday, 8 p.m. Pacific time.
Beach Boys.
Yes. Beach Boys. Moving on, we're going to go to 1963. The song Sally Goes Round the Roses by a Bronx-based one-hit wonder girl group, the Jeanettes, peak at number two. The melody was an adaptation, that word, of the old English nursery rhyme, Ring Around the Rosy. Here is the Jeanettes with Sally Go Round the Roses.
Thanks for calling in, Tuttles.
Sally go round the roses. Sally go round the roses. Sally go round the roses.
Okay.
Sally go round the pretty roses.
Sally go around the roses by the Jeanettes. Interesting song. I have never heard that before.
I know.
Nor have I ever heard of the Jeanettes.
J-Nets, yeah. I know, when I was thinking, it's kind of funny.
It is.
All right, we'll go to the year 1972 when Motown Records released the Temptations version of Papa Was a Rolling Stone. A Rolling Stone may gather no moss, but it doesn't handle responsibility well. In this song, written by Norman Whitfield and Barnett Strong in 1971, the father is a disrespectful philanderer. When he dies, the mother opens up about him, telling the kids all about his laziness and womanizing. The Temptations version was a number one hit on the Billboard Hot 100 and won 3 Grammy Awards in 1973. Here is the Temptations with Papa Was a Rolling Stone.
Thanks for coming in, Lucky Irish. Have a great day. Thanks for stopping by.
Man
Cave. Man Cave, thanks for calling in, buddy. Appreciate it.
This reminds me of, like, is it Shaft? Or what was that? What were those, you know, those movies on?
Yeah. And this is the short version of this song. This version is 6 minutes 41 seconds long.
And this
they actually produced another one that's almost 12 minutes long.
Oh my gosh.
And it's just it's just mostly music. Yeah.
I like the music.
I do too. Shaft. Like you said, this is around the time Shaft came out.
Yeah.
Who was the guy that did the Shaft music? Oh man. I can't remember his name. Yeah, we'll get to the words here pretty soon. Isaac Hayes. Isaac Hayes did the music
Samuel
for Shaft.
Samuel L. Jackson. Oh, there's a movie, I guess. Maybe Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah, see, he did a remake of Shaft.
That's the remake. The TV one is the one I was talking about. Wasn't there one on TV? What was the
I don't think
TV?
So.
Or maybe I'm talking about the lady cop that was on TV with big hair, afro.
Oh, yeah. I can't remember her name now. Yeah. I know exactly who you're talking about. Yeah. It was the 3rd of September. There we go.
That fast car. That
day I'll always remember. Papa Was a Rolling Stone by the Temptations. We're almost 2 minutes into the song before they even start singing.
Crazy.
But that's great music, though. I mean, the music's fantastic for that song. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, we're going to move on to the year 1974. English hard rock super group
Bad
Company went to number one on the U.S. album chart with their self-titled debut album. Paul Rodgers and Simon Kirk had come out of Free, while Mick Ralphs had played the guitar for Mott the Hoople, and the Boz Bernal was bass player for King Crimson before the group formed in 73. Rodgers and Kirk also wrote the song with the band's same name. Rodgers said in an interview, "I wrote the song with the Western feel, with an almost biblical promised land kind of lawless feel to it. The name backed it up and with a lot of respect," whatever that means. Here is Bad Company with the song Bad Company from the LP of the same name, Bad Company. Hi, Rowdy Thur. Nice to see you.
I don't know why. I always thought Paul McCartney had his hand a little bit into this band. I might have been mistaken.
Company, always on the run.
Maybe he was a producer, a silent producer of the music
Destiny
or something.
Destiny is a rising sun.
That's Bad Company with Bad Company. Good band. Good band.
Mm-hmm. All right. On to the year of 1980. The Police were at number one on the UK singles chart with Don't Stand Too Close to Me, the group's third number one. The song is about a teacher who lusts after one of its students. Sting was a teacher before joining the Police, but he insists the lyrics are not based on a personal experience. It was a best-selling single in the UK in the 1980s. Here is Police with Don't Stand Too Close to Me.
Five Finger Death Punch's version of that song. No, I haven't. Coltrane. But I like the name of that band. Come on, Sting.
Young teacher, the subject of schoolgirl fantasy. She wants him so bad.
This is the Police with Don't Stand So Close to Me. All right, Sting.
Oh, Five Finger Death Punch is a Colorado band, J Baby.
Is that right? Huh.
Interesting.
I'll have to look them up.
Yeah. All right. Lastly on our list today is the year 1991. American country music artist Garth Brooks went to number one on the U.S. album chart with Robin the Wind is the LP. The album spent a total of 18 weeks at number one position and 70 weeks on the chart, selling over 11 million copies. The tune is about a gal laminating the fact that her guy was in love with the rodeo rather than her. Here's Garth Brooks with Rodeo.
Country version of Brandy.
True.
His eyes are cold and restless. His moves have almost stayed. She give half a Texas just to change the way he feels.
This is Garth Brooks with Rodeo.
She knows he's a gonna go.
You know, trying to find Garth Brooks music actually done by Garth Brooks is hard. I mean, I can't. It's hard to find. I mean, I don't know if there's some kind of weird copyright thing with his music or, you know, rights. I don't know. But I can find all kinds of people singing Garth Brooks music except Garth Brooks. And I had to look all over the place to find this song. And I had to get it off of a live album that had a bunch of other country stars doing their songs in a live concert. Interesting, though. Good list, Dina Jo.
Yeah,
thanks.
It was a good day. You're welcome.
Yeah, I didn't mean to cut Tunnels and Man Cave short. No, I did. I did. I wasn't going to talk about Magnet Fish. No, I'm just messing with those guys.
No, because you know what? If you had the time and anything, you'd be doing it too.
Oh. Tell you what,
you would be having one. You they would get you hooked in a second, and you would be doing it too.
Except I'd have to be doing it from the shore because I do not like boats.
Oh,
I would not do boats, but I would love to do it like in England where Man Cave's at because of those canals.
Yeah,
you know, those canals aren't really that wide. I mean, yeah, I'm sure they're deep because you got those canal boats going down them. But, that would be awesome. That would be awesome to go do that. I could spend a day out there throwing that magnet out there. But I'm not a good knot maker. I'm not good at knots. And I would surely lose my magnet. I'd get a hold of something, and I'd be pulling on it, and then it'd come undone, and I'm just there holding a rope. And Grammy would be going, hey, where's your magnet? Never mind. No, but that would be fun. And I like Tuttle's idea of going out on a boat, you know. Now you're just out there dredging like the police do, looking for a body. Yeah.
Oh, God. That's what Doss said. Find a body.
Yeah, I know. I read that before he got out. Except he was wrong. He was saying you connect to the gold teeth. Well, no, gold's not magnetic, so you couldn't connect to the teeth. But, yeah, you could connect to the chains that are around his wrists. Or his ankles,
God.
You can do that. Hey, Tunnels is back with us. How you doing, buddy?
Good. Yeah, no, I didn't buy a boat. I bought an RC boat, like a remote-controlled boat.
Oh, an RC boat. I thought you had a – I missed the RC part of it.
Yeah, so it's a 26-inch scale cabin cruiser type thing with, like, the big scarab back.
Uh-huh.
So I'm just going to place the magnet on it, go out, and then just pull the magnet off the back and let it drop straight down because I don't like boats either.
Yeah.
And then I'm also setting up
– saves your arm from throwing it, and you can get it way out there.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so now what are you going to do if it hooks onto something? The boat, that little RC boat's not going to be strong enough to bring it back to you, is it?
No, I'm just going to use it like a platform, right? And then I'm going to zoom it out, and then I'll just tug on the rope a little bit, and then the magnet will pop off the back and then just fall straight down into the water.
Gotcha.
And then I'll RC the boat back to the shore, and then I'll pull in the magnet. And then I'm also setting up the boat to troll with fishing lures behind it. I'm going to try to go bass fishing with an RC boat.
You better check with your fish and game people. Make sure that's legal. I'm just saying, brother. I'm just saying. I've watched too many of these, you know, Texas Long Star, you know, the fish and game people out there, you know, from all over the country. And I'm thinking, man, you better make sure you can do that. Because you'd be out there doing it, you know, and you're catching fish, and the game warden comes up, hey, how you doing? Yeah, that looks, you having fun? Yeah, you catching fish? Yeah, I'm catching all, but you can't do this. This is illegal.
Well, I got a fishing license, so hopefully that's all I need for it. But they sell them at the Bass Pro Shop, but they sell these little cheap ones for like 50, 60 bucks. Like this is like a big scale cabin cruiser that I bought, like with LiPo batteries in it and, you know, 3,300 kV motor I'm putting in it and stuff. Like, it's a big, heavy-duty RC boat. So
I can see that thing fighting a big old fish. That fish is trying to get away, and it's trying to drag that boat down, you know? Oh, my gosh. That'd be awesome. Make sure you got a camera ready so you could film the battle out there. That'd be awesome.
Well, now that I've launched my YouTube stuff again, I'll be videotaping a lot of my stupidity.
That's right. Time. Hey, everybody, Tunnels has a YouTube channel. And yes.
I had it written down.
Oh, it's a TGY TV on YouTube. Check him out, and entertaining. I subscribed to it yesterday, and was checking it out. That's good stuff. That's good stuff, man.
Yeah, it's just fun stuff, going out and doing things, you know. And I don't know.
Get out there, get outside, do the stuff you like to do, have some fun. And just escape from all the madness. That's what we need to do. And
well, see, that's what happened with. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
That's what started happening with my YouTube career, because I pulled this character. He went viral, and I was making all these videos on this one topic. And as much fun as it is and stuff like that, I kind of missed doing just having my wife and me go fishing. She fires up the camera, and I just bull crap for a minute or two, you know? Okay. So I used to do a Friday fishing show.
Those are fun. I'm telling you, they're entertaining. And, you know, you get some laughs, and you learn something while you're watching them. Oh, no, man, I'm totally with it. I'm totally behind you on that stuff. That's good stuff right there. Yeah.
Thank you.
I hope it takes off for you and you have a lot of fun doing it. Stay true to your mission. You know, you have in your mind what you want to do. Just stay true to it and just do it and have fun. And it's going
to
be a blast, man. I'm telling you.
Absolutely.
They are fun to watch. Yeah. Yeah, and we never did get to talk about this electromagnetic stuff, because I understand all this last weekend we had another big solar flare event. I read that again. And
what tends to happen with those is there'll be like a big event on the sun.
We only got 2 minutes.
Okay.
I'd rather have you come back when you got some time and we can talk about it, you know.
Okay.
Than to get you started and then have to cut off because we run out of time. Yeah, but I noticed, I saw that, I read that there was another big event over the weekend, and people were complaining about losing their internet and trouble with their computers and all that. And I thought, what the heck? What's going on? And then I dug a little bit deeper and found out there was a big major solar event. Yeah. So, hey, so yeah, if you're just let me know when you're ready and call in early in the show, and man, we'll just we'll let you go and talk about it, because that's fun stuff. That's interesting to me. That's science, people. Science.
Science and astrology and outside space all stuff all in one.
Yeah, yeah. And so, we're just going to have to leave it at that and make sure we get you back on here, man.
Yeah,
get you back on here, and we'll talk about solar flares and the trouble electromagnetic fields have. All right,
thank you
awesome.
For letting me call in.
Oh, thanks for calling in, Tuttles. We really appreciate it. Good times, everybody. What a fun show. Appreciate everybody coming in. The Old Man's Podcast Tuttles. Show with Dina, Joe, and Eric. Thanks to Tuttles for calling in. Man Cave for calling in, talking about their magnetic fishing expeditions they got going. Good times. Eric, you want to plug a few shows that are coming up?
Well, coming up on Podbean Live, you've got Milk Dog, you've got Impromptu, episodes of Kansas Culture and maybe Mike Tempe. But however, the Boundary series, I think, is temporarily going to be on hold, but hopefully it'll return soon with new episodes. And then you've also got Beans and Weenies and Primetime and Spanky, you know, at lunchtime previewing tonight's show. And don't know whether Slightly Serious will be on this evening or not, but definitely be on the lookout should he do shows. And Ralph tomorrow morning, and we're back tomorrow morning and rebroadcast over on WESN.
Yeah, you can catch this show again at 11 a.m. Pacific time, a rebroadcast on the WESN Epic Strategies Network. Download the phone app or go to their webpage and check it out. Hey, Dina Joe, tomorrow let's jump back into these antiviral herbs. We kind of touched a little bit on them because it's some interesting stuff there. Mm-hmm. And I'll try to make a note of it. And if you can't help me remember, we'll jump back into that. Because I really do want to talk about licorice and dandelions. Because it's fascinating stuff there. And it's good times. Good times. You'll be educated and interesting stuff, these herbs. Home remedies. We got to get back to using home remedies. Because those are the things that help us the best. All right. Well, that's good enough. Yeah. A little bit of a teaser for the show tomorrow.
Turmeric.
Yeah. So we'll just have a good time with that. Oh man, what a great day. Great day. It's Tuesday, tomorrow's Wednesday. Get out there and buy yourself some of those tacos, and let's have a debate tomorrow on if they're a taco or a sandwich. And now a final word from Dina Joe.
Be the reason someone smiles today. Let your smile change the world, but don't let the world change your smile. It was so great to see you guys today. Hope you guys have a great rest of your day, and we'll see you around on Podbeam, and hopefully tomorrow. Talk to you later. Bye. Bye, Flyman. Bye, AJFA.
Dina Joe. Good times, everybody. Get out there and have some fun today. If you got any plans, you had things you wanted to do in September, you only got two full days in today left to do it. Get her done. Whatever happened to that guy? Get her done.
He's still around.
What was his name? I don't remember his name. Get her done. Larry the Cable Guy.
Yeah.
Get her done. Larry the Cable Guy. I don't know. He kind of sounds like the coach from LSU. Go Tigers.
Oh, gosh.
Have a great day, everybody. Get out and do some fun stuff. Do random acts of kindness. Open the doors for people. You know, smile. Try to get five people to smile today. And just be kind. Let's just get back to being kind and polite and liking each other for a change, all right? Hey, our music's done. We're out of here. Thanks, everybody. Come back tomorrow.
Bye, guys. Love you.
Have a great, great day.
See you next time.
Later, Gators. Go Tigers.